Well, here we are in the final week of the Unseen Realm, and the topic today is Satan and the Holy Spirit. It's kind of a rough title, so I changed it to the accuser or advocate. I don't know if you've thought about this, but that still small voice that's inside your head is probably not your own. How do I know that? Well, in Easter 2021, I'd started off the year. What kind of year was I going to have? The best year ever in 2021. It was incredible. We had relaunched coming out of COVID here at Crossroads, and things were going great. On Easter Sunday, we had a record attendance. Life couldn't get any better. Was living up to that best year ever. And then something happened because that still small voice became a loud roar in my ears. I preached the message to a capacity crowd. We went across to the pavilion where they had 1,000 or 3,000 Easter eggs filled ready for the kids. And I stepped off this platform and I told myself I was done. I was finished. I remember going over into the conference room and sitting there for a few minutes, having a little bit of a pity party, and that loud voice got louder and louder. Why? During the best year ever, on Easter Sunday, capacity crowd, everything was going phenomenally well. Why would I say I'm done? Why would I want to walk away? Because my sons didn't show up that day for church. And this voice was whispering and said, "What a lousy pastor you are. What a horrible preacher that you own children." And the next 24 hours in our house was pure hell. And I thank God for a praying wife that loves God more than me, and for friends that she was able to confide in, and they prayed. Why would I share such a thing? Why would I tell you all about one of the most embarrassing points of my pastoral career? The reason why, because if it happens to me, I know it's happening to you. Some of y'all heard that voice this morning and said, "Don't go to church. Don't waste your time." And I'm just here to tell you, if you heard that voice this morning, you are in the right place. See, this is the reality that we are in a spiritual battle. There is a real enemy. It's not if he attacks. We are under attack. You are under attack. Your children are under attack. Your spouse is under attack. The people that you care about and love the most, they are under attack by the enemy. His name is Satan, Lucifer, the deceiver, the destroyer, the father of lies, the prince of darkness, the accuser. He's mastered shame and he's trademark embarrassment. His lies wound and his accusations sting. You see, the accuser, before you sin, he says, "It's no big deal." And after you sin, he says, "You're nothing." Before you sin, he says, "No one's going to find out about that." And after you sin, he says, "How could God ever love you?" Before you sin, he says, "You deserve it." And after you sin, he says, "Your life is ruined." Before you sin, he says, "You won't get caught." And after you sin, he says, "Pathetic." That's one voice you could listen to. I'm confident that it's speaking to many of you. If he doesn't leave me alone, I imagine he resides at your house as well. John 14, verses 16 to 17 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." How long? Did it say he'll be with you until you sin? Did he say he'll be with you until you walk out on God? Did he say he'll be with you until you quit your church? He'll be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But listen to this. You know him, for he dwells with you and he will be in you. John 16:7, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And so the choice we have today, are we going to listen to the accuser, or are we going to listen to the advocate, our helper? Church, here's a couple things that the Holy Spirit gives us the power to do. Number one, the Holy Spirit gives us the power of salvation. John 3, verses 5 and 6 says this, and Jesus answered, he was talking to Nicodemus, a Pharisee, well up in the religious circle of the Jews. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. I started this series off talking to you about our body, our soul, and our spirit. And there's many of you in here today, and you have a body and a soul, but yet your spirit has never been brought to life. There's many that have a body, a soul, and a spirit, and that spirit was brought to life 20 years ago or 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and yet you've never seen the power that it can have in your life. And so Nicodemus is asking, how in the world could a man enter back into his mother's womb? That's ridiculous. It's just as ridiculous as when the Bible says in Corinthians that when we believe on Jesus Christ, we become a new creation. That's ridiculous, but that's what God does. You've got decision cards in the front of every one of your chairs. I would encourage you while I'm preaching to pull this out. And there's three simple things that has to happen for a new spirit, a new creation to be created in you. Number one, you have to admit that you're a sinner. See, I don't have a problem with that. You've heard me many times. Matter of fact, if you'll come back next month, whoo, it's going to get bad. I'm going to put the cookies on the bottom shelf. I'm a sinner. It says, B is to believe. Believe that Jesus is God's son and receive God's gift of forgiveness. See, many of you have never received that gift. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. He died for my sins, knowing that one day I'd walk off the stage and want to walk out. And then C, confess. Jesus Christ is Lord. Not only does the Holy Spirit give us power to salvation, but the Holy Spirit gives us power to share Christ boldly. Say boldly with me. Boldly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 say it this way, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. Guys, that's the way I preach, without words of wisdom. But my heart's desire is that it's in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith may not rest in the wisdom of men. And some of your problems, the reason why you can't share the gospel boldly is because you're relying on the wisdom of men. You're relying on something that you saw online, a podcast that you heard, something on YouTube. And when you take those words that you heard another person say and you repeat those, you think that it's going to have a magical impact, and it doesn't. It falls short. Why? Because it's not based in the Word of God. That's where the power comes from. He says, so don't let it rest in the wisdom of men, what? But in the power of God. Third thing the Holy Spirit gives us power to do, and that is to live a holy life. Oh, I know I saw toes just crinkle up in the shoes. Romans 8, 5 and 6 says it this way. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. This is a simple solution to the reason why you struggle with sin. It's not easy, but it's simple. But those who are controlled by the Spirit, what do they think about? They think about the things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind, it's going to lead to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And I know that one of the most sought after things that people look for in the church is peace, to leave the anxiety behind. Here is how you get it. The Holy Spirit gives it to you. If you struggle with anxiety, the Holy Spirit is the answer. If you struggle with worry, the Holy Spirit is the answer. The Bible tells us, for every day of the year, it says to fear not. He's got us covered, church. So let me share with you some what I'm going to call Spirit-filled advice, or maybe it should have said advice to be Spirit-filled. Number one is, don't resist the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:51 says it this way, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. The reason why you haven't seen God work in your life in 5 years is because you've been resisting the Holy Spirit. The reason why you aren't experiencing an abundant, joyful life, you don't see the fruit of the Spirit growing in your life, is because you are resisting the Holy Spirit. Oh, now, the Bible says it a couple different ways. He says to resist the Holy Spirit, to grieve the Holy Spirit, to quench the Holy Spirit. I don't know if those are three different things or a progression. But I got to believe that the Holy Spirit has been quenched in some of y'all's lives. Proverbs 29 gives us this word of warning. He who is often reproved yet stiffens his neck will suddenly be broken beyond healing. Why would I preach such a hard message to you today? Because I don't want you to wait too long and for God to have to come down and break you to the point where you can't receive the healing. I experienced a little bit of this week. This past summer, I had done a project underneath my house in the crawl space. I'd encapsulated it. I'd put a sump pump in there, and the sump pump ran out. And I don't know if you realize this, but it got cold a couple of weeks ago. And it stayed cold. And the pipe that went out from my house froze solid. I had an 18-foot ice cube inside the pipe. And so I did what every man of God does, and I prayed. I said, God, I said, I need you to heal that pipe. I need you to heat up that water. I need you to allow it to just flow out. And folks, I'm telling you, I believe that God was going to do that. God's done a lot of other silly, stupider things for this pastor. And I just knew it was going to happen. Why? Because in 18 hours, we were going to leave for 3 days, and I couldn't have that happening. Because I heard my sump pump pumping, but nothing was going anywhere. Why? Because it was running up against that clog, that 18-foot-long clog. And I said, well, I'm going to give God time to work. And I went to bed. I went to sleep. And at 2:45 in the morning, I have alarms that are set down in the crawl space, and it started going off telling me that there was water in the crawl space. 2:45 in the morning, I said, well, you know what? I'm just going to keep sleeping. Every 5 minutes that it reminded me, hey, there's water down here. Every 5 minutes it kept doing that. 5:30, I got up, and the Lord had impressed upon my heart that I needed to do something about this, that he wasn't going to melt that for me. And so I went out with a pickaxe, and I started on the end, and I went 2 feet in, and did I tell you guys I have anger issues? I didn't on Tuesday morning. I used that anger. It was like the power of God. And I hit that frozen ground through the frozen pipe, and it shattered. 2 foot of that pipe leaves, and I still see ice. So I go 2 more feet, and in the power of God and the strength of Samson, I did it again, smashed it, boom. There's still ice in there. And I kept going every 2 feet. Mud is splattering all over me. Finally, I get to within 18 inches of health. I smash it again, and I see that there's freedom. I call my wife. Wake up, baby. Can you go flip the switch for the sump pump? She goes down. I knew she'd flipped it because hundreds of gallons of water that was trapped under the house started flowing. Well, then I go inside and got to do the next thing. I got to go under there and look at the damage. I'd spent hours, when I say hours, hundreds of hours, putting the encapsulation into place, hoping that I designed it in such a way that all the water would flow towards that sump pump if it got by chance into the encapsulated space. I go down there. I take the shop vac with me. I'm praising Jesus the whole time. You know that, right? I might have been questioning him. Why did you not unfreeze the ice? Why did you make me destroy the pipes? And I get down there. I don't know if you can tell in that picture, but there's that little water sensor, and there's about half a cup of water left. Everything else had been pulled back in to the sump pump and out. I want to tell you that story, because I think many of you are, your life is clogged by sin, and you're praying and you're asking God to melt it away. And he says, I ain't going to do that. You're going to have to get out there at 5:30 in the morning with a pickaxe and destroy the stuff that you brought into your house. You're going to have to destroy the sin that you put on your computer. You're going to have to destroy the text messages. And if you don't, the Holy Spirit's not going to push anything through. So we need to stop resisting the Holy Spirit and learn to surrender to the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. If you read those verses there from 16 to verse 25, you'll see a progression. I told you about a progression when it comes to going against the Holy Spirit. Well, here's the progression when it comes to walking in the Holy Spirit. First, you learn to walk, and then you get led by the Holy Spirit, and then you keep in step with the Holy Spirit. Continues in verse 17, and the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. How many would just raise your hand boldly and say, you know what? I know what you're talking about. I've got this. Oh, it's a conversation going on in my head. There's a conflict. I want to do one thing, and I struggle with doing it. And it says, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Many of you have heard, but I told you a couple years ago, Carrie and I ran the Savannah Rock and Roll Half Marathon. And as I got about 3 miles into this, I came up to a sign that I'll never forget. It said that if you're still struggling, it means that you haven't quit yet. And church, I've got good news for you. If you're still struggling, it means that you haven't quit yet. Because the accuser's telling you to quit. The accuser's telling you, don't go back to church. The accuser's telling you, why even try again? You're just going to fall one more time. And you'll never live out those good intentions. What are the good intentions? You've got good intentions with your time. You've already told yourself, I'm going to read the Bible more, and yet you find that you're binge-watching Netflix still. You tell yourself that I'm going to do more at the church, and yet you find reasons not to go to the men's breakfast. You have good intentions that you're going to use your talent. I want to, but I never follow through. I'm afraid that if I say yes to Miss Sherry and I get used over in the children's ministry, that I'll never get out of there. I've heard stories. They're lies. That's what the accuser tells you. If your name ain't Sam, you don't get stuck back there. Or Brittany, or Tabby. Or everyone else, you will get out, I promise you. You have good intentions with your treasure. You want to. You want to take God up on his word. You want your barns to be overflowing, but yet you don't honor God with your wealth. Never follow through. So the third thing we need to do, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But here's the problem. To say yes to the Holy Spirit, we have to say no to the flesh. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. Do you know what the word debauchery means? I had to look this up. Extreme indulgence and sensual pleasure. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Bible's saying, don't do this. Don't get drunk with wine. It's the enemy that tells you, but a little wine is good for the stomach. I'll just tell you this. If you are using that verse to justify drinking, you got a problem. You may ask, Pastor Ronnie, do you drink? Yes, I do. I drink what's called Baptist booze, NyQuil. Only thing I don't have is a brown paper bag that I put it in. But I tell you what, I quit using the little cap. My sinuses are stuffed and I'm not going to sleep well. I just open up the Baptist booze and I just drink from the bottle. That's what the Bible means when it says a little wine is good for the stomach. Not a little box of wine. And folks, I don't think that it just means wine. I think this is a principle. Don't do this. Don't get stoned on weed. I know the enemy tells you, the accuser is going to say, but you're not hurting anybody. Don't get stoned on weed because it will lead to debauchery. It will lead to an extreme indulgence in sensual pleasures. Don't do this. Don't burn with envy. Oh, but you say, you know, nobody's getting hurt. It's just pornography. Men, there is no innocent victim in the pornography world. If you knew what those ladies were put through to get them there, you'd never touch it again. Because pornography leads to debauchery and extreme indulgence and sensual pleasure. The Bible says this, don't get consumed by anger on Easter of 2021, Ronnie. Because you almost lose it all. If I would have listened to the accuser, 200 salvations wouldn't have happened. 170 plus people wouldn't have been baptized. Who knows how many lives wouldn't have been changed if I would have listened, if I would have let my anger. Now, folks, I've paid the price. For 3 years, I didn't have a relationship with my sons. And God, in his grace, this past Christmas changed that. Do this. Let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't do what the sinful nature craves. Meaning you need to be studying Galatians 5 this week. Don't do this, Nikki. Don't give in to alcohol because it just leads to debauchery, sinful pleasure. But be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It'll change your life. Courtney, don't do this. Don't give in to the lure of drugs. But do this instead. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the drugs will lead to a life of debauchery, sinful indulgence of pleasure. The Holy Spirit will lead you to bear fruit, joy, love, peace in your life. So you got to walk in the Holy Spirit and then be led by the Holy Spirit. And ultimately, you're going to have to keep up with the Holy Spirit. The number one question I receive as a pastor is this. Am I saved? Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. But many of you right now, the Spirit's not bearing witness. Why? Because you've been resisting the Spirit. You've grieved the Spirit. You've quenched the Spirit in your life. Oh, you get glimpses of it sometimes during praise and worship, yet you walk back out and you resist the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit. You quench the Holy Spirit. And you hope that you show up next Sunday and there will be some good songs that are going to help you feel better. You hope that I bring a word from God that's going to speak to you. Maybe not one like today. A little nicer, a little more uplifting. But the Bible says that the truth will make you free. And the truth for many of you is going to send you to an eternity in hell if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you're still struggling between the Holy Spirit and what your flesh wants to do, it means that you haven't quit yet. I'm glad that you were here today. I'm glad that you got up. I'm glad that you went beyond what the voice in your head said. Not just because you could watch these kids sing this morning. Wasn't that incredible? Oh, my goodness. Hey, Mom. Oh, and then they all want to say hey to Mom and Grandma and aunts and uncles. If you're still struggling, it means that you haven't quit yet. Right now, the song that's on loop that I've been playing is called The Enemy's Camp. This is an 80s, 90s song. And the words go this: I went to the enemy's camp and stole back or took back what he stole from me. Now, I don't know about you, but I love going to the enemy's camp and taking back what he's stolen. I love going to the enemy's camp and getting a relationship with my sons again. I love going to the enemy's camp and saying no to anger. What do you need to go and get out of the enemy's camp? What do you need to get the pickaxe out on and start destroying? Oh, I got a mess to clean up. And I'm just going to tell you this. When you destroy what the enemy's done in your life, when you get rid of the sin, there's a mess. It's going to be ugly. There's consequences to all those actions that you've been living out. Oh, there's mercy. There's grace. But you know what? That person that you offended, they aren't God. And they may not forgive you as quickly. It might take them 3 years. Some it may be longer. Isaiah chapter 54, it won't be up on the screen. I just want to read this to you. If you're taking notes, write this down. Isaiah 54 and verse 17, it says this. Actually, I want to read verse 16. It says, behold, I've created the smith who blows the fires of the coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager to destroy. There's many times in the Old Testament where God allowed the enemy to come in to discipline his children. And I'm convinced, matter of fact, Malachi 3:10 says this, when we don't honor him with our wealth, that he that frees up the devourer, the destroyer into our life. But listen to what he says in verse 17. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. You will silence every voice that's raised up to accuse you. Have you ever just wanted to go to Satan? Shh. That roaring lion just lets out that roar that shakes everything, the foundation of your life. And through the power of Jesus Christ, you have the power to say, shh. These benefits are enjoyed by the servants of the Lord. Their vindication will come from me. I, the Lord, have spoken this. Boy, I mean, you read something powerful like that, and I don't know about you, but I wonder, well, what else has God got? And so I turned over to chapter 55, and it says this. Is anyone thirsty? Anyone here thirsty for the Holy Spirit in their life? Oh, come on. God says, come and drink. Said, even if you have no money, how many is there? I ain't got no money right now. Praise Jesus. Come take your choice of wine. See, drinking's in the Bible, Pastor. Or milk, it's all free. Why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me, and you will eat what is good. How do we listen to God? Right here. You will enjoy the finest food. Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love that I promised David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations, but you do not know. And peoples unknown to you and will come running to obey. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, have made you glorious. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked change their ways and banish every thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Yes, turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. I won't even ask you to raise your hand for that, but I'm confident I'm looking at a room full of people who need to experience forgiveness from God, who need to experience forgiveness for resisting the Holy Spirit who's been given to them. You need to experience forgiveness for saying yes to fleshly desires and losing out on heavenly treasure.